Request there and kind of threw me off. I normally make a statement about the offering, but I've done that several times and it don't seem to help, so I guess it don't matter that much. All joking aside, open your Bibles to the book of John. John chapter 8. You know, we read in the life of Jesus on earth, we read at times when we know he was weary, when he was sleepy, when he was hungry, and all of that. So he'd taken on a human body, prepared for him to be the second Adam and to experience the things and that all of us do in the flesh, in the sense of the needs of the flesh. For instance, the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews that he becomes our high priest that can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Well, he'd done that because he'd been down the road ahead of us. The difference was he did it without sin. And most of the time he did it without what I would say invoking the supernatural powers that he did have and could invoke on the occasions when it was right for him to do so. They wanted to kill him ahead of time several times. They wanted to toss him off the cliff, and yet the scripture says he went his way through them. They couldn't do it. He said, no man lay down my life, but I, no man take my life from me, but I lay down my life. There's a big difference. Amen. Most fellows that are killed cannot prevent it. But Jesus could have. We sang the song. He could have called 10,000 angels. No doubt about it. But I do wonder sometime when I think about him getting weary. I don't know about you, but I get weary sometime. All of us do. You better be careful about making decisions when you're weary. You know that? Best time to make a decision is when you're feeling good. Because it'll influence you if you're going the if you're hurting too bad. It sure will. I was driving out of the driveway this morning, shortly after daylight, about 10 minutes to 7 or something. And, of course, when I turn the ignition on in the car, the radio station comes on. And I'd heard a song. I'm sure it's probably been on there before, but I have not heard it or didn't remember hearing it, which is quite possible. But anyway, just as I was driving out the driveway, I thought, I'm tired. I hadn't got my strength back yet. And I just started having a little pity party. It don't take long to have a pity party. Did you know that? I'd say from my house to the pavement, you can have a pretty good pity party. I'm very far. And just as about the time my wheels come out on the road, a song come on the radio, and it said words like this. It said, need to go to church. You need the saints of God. You need the things of God, and that'll make you finish up right. And it was just, I said, Lord, I haven't even got to church, and you started on me. The truth of the matter is, once in a while, we need a little rebuke. We need a little kick in the rear, don't we, to get us moving and to realize, hey, you know what Peter said at the end of John chapter 6 over there when the Lord saw the crowd leaving him because of his hard preaching? Remember the story? You remember what Jesus said as he looked around on his immediate disciples? And he said, will ye also go away? That's a big question. Boy, if we could stop God's people from going away, thinking the pasture's greener over the fence. Somebody says it may be greener on the other side of the fence, but the water bill is higher. And the truth is, you go over and find it out, amen? And going away. And the Lord said to the disciples there at the end of John chapter 6, he said, will ye also go away? And I'm sure some of them probably felt like it as they saw the crowd leaving them, the crowd they'd already done good by, fed and brought miracles and healing and all that stuff to them. But now the preaching got tough. I come one Sunday, one lady said, when that preacher would just bless my heart, and the next week he made me so mad. You needed both of them. Amen. But we leave, we come on the good one, leave on the bad one. This is what I feared this morning, was having a cough in the middle of it. Well, all of you look back yonder. I wanted to cough while you were looking away, and you won't fall for it. All right, you got to cooperate with me. But anyway, the Lord said to Peter, will ye also go away? And you remember what he said? Boy, this is so good. Lord, to who would we go? And that's what I want to ask a lot of Christians. Even when you're hurting, where are you going to go except the Lord? Even where things are going wrong, where are you going to go except to the Lord? It won't get better. It'll get worse. The further you get from God, the worse it'll get. And the difference is that we'll have suffering with the Lord, but he's with us. We can hurt with the Lord, but he's there. That's the difference. How would you feel if you turned away and then you start hurting even greater? How would you feel? That would add to your hurt, wouldn't it? Sure it would. Well, I want you to jump into John 8 with me. We find the Lord, he's being persecuted by the Pharisees, the religious crowd. The big issue is, who was he? Was he deity? Was he really the Son of God? And so they are attacking him right and left. And every kind of thing that they can bring up. And I'm going to just jump in on about verse 20. We've been going through this. This dialogue will continue. And yet there's some powerful, deep, within your heart type of statements made in this chapter that'll help us. And help us to understand something a little bit about it. You see, when you actually understand that Jesus was God incarnate in the flesh, it'll just open up all the windows of truth to you. The light will break. You'll understand. If you don't have that, and the Pharisees didn't have that, and a lot of people don't have it today, and the reason they're so puzzled about everything is they just don't know who Jesus was. That's what it amounts to. Really what it amounts to. So it says in verse 20, those words, or these words, spake Jesus in the treasury. And I'm not going to beat you up on that, but Jesus did take note of what was given. That's where he was sitting. As he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him. Why didn't they do that? Not because they didn't want to, but it says, for his hour was not yet come. He had a plan he was following. He knew what he was here about. They couldn't take him ahead of time. Verse 21, then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whether I go, ye cannot come. Now, this wasn't something he just sprung on them. This has been part of the dialogue going on and on as they continue to be skeptical of him and try to contradict him and trap him. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself? Because he saith, whether I go, you cannot come. And they're trying to reason it out on a physical basis. They don't understand the spiritual talk and the spiritual application and truth that the Lord Jesus is trying to give them. And he said unto them, ye are from beneath. I am from above. Ye are of this world. I am of not of this world. Now, it's easy to understand, very simple statements. He said, I'm from above, you from below. Now, they didn't want to hear that. People today don't want to hear that. Do you know that good and evil is still just as present this moment as it was when Jesus was teaching? Do you know, in some ways, it ought to even be more obvious, I think, than ever in the full old planet Earth. And people don't like to be pointed out which side is right. You notice that? No, sir. My side is right. Don't matter what my side is. Isn't it amazing? Bible says, Proverbs says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. Not just in the eyes of others. In his own eyes. He justifies himself. He excuses himself. And how we see that is human nature. I know a daddy one time, he was joking. It was early years. Before my son was born, in fact, but he had a couple of kids, and the family was over at our house one night, and a good family, and he had a jokester streak in him. You ever see anybody like that? I had an uncle or two that way. You never was sure because his face was straight when he was joking or not. And we loved him for it, but it was a little different. This daddy was sitting on the couch, and his wife, and Sonia and I were sitting there talking. and a couple of kids playing around on the floor, and the little boy got to be a little bit loud and got to be a little bit out of line with his sister, whatever he was doing. And the daddy looked at me and he said this. He said, "I'd jerk him up and spank him if he wasn't mine." You got what he said? Aren't we all like that? Yep. We'll excuse our own. Wouldn't excuse nobody else's. And that's what we see kind of going on here with the Lord. He's saying, "I'm from above, you're from below. There's a big difference. You don't like to see the difference. One's right, one's wrong. You don't like to know what's right or what's wrong." And it's still old human nature with every one of us. Verse 24, "I said, therefore unto you that you should die in your sins, for if," and he's always, what's the ifs always in the scripture? Here's an if. "For if you believe not." Now the opposite of that is if you believe, you don't have to die. "But if you believe not that I am he," and I want you to watch the words, you ought to underline them in your Bible maybe, "that I am he." See how many times that shows up. "That I am he." And there's the big I am. There's the I am of the burning bush. That's the I am that identifies God. When Moses said, "I want to know what your name is," God said, "I am that I am." And that's where the world is still hung up, right there on who God is. And so he says here, "For if you believe not," big if "you believe not, you'll die in your sins. If you believe, you won't die in your sins." That's still the truth today. And what you believe right now makes a difference whether or not if you died right now, you'd die in your sins or die with your sins forgiven. That's the difference. If somebody wants to make the Bible so hard and the Bible is so simple when it comes to telling you the main truth about Jesus, who he was, what he did, what you have when you have Jesus, it's all right here in the text. He said, "That I am he." "Then said they unto him, Who art thou?" They can't get it. "And Jesus saith unto them, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning." He said, it hadn't changed. My story hadn't changed. The truth hadn't changed. What I've said's not changing. It's the same. It's the same. That's what he's saying to them right here. "I have many things," he says, "to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him." Now, he's telling them he's from God. He's telling them he's bringing the message from God. They don't hear that. They don't accept that. "They understood not that he spake to them of the Father." You really wonder, how could they be that thick? How could they be in that much darkness? And yet they are. You that ever share the gospel with anybody that's lost, isn't it amazing the darkness they're in? Isn't it amazing the gap between trying to tell them the good news and they can't get it? We just talked about the teens going on mission trips, soul winning. They got some folks saved, but you know what they did? They talked to a bunch of folks that didn't get saved. They went out and shared the same gospel with others, and it is still true today. Making a little spiritual application, one is taken and another's left. I have seen that. I have been in the room of house, living room with somebody sharing the gospel over and over, and them still not get saved. I have had more than one occasion where somebody else was not being addressed. I even remember a couple of times when somebody was in another room. I remember young teenager, maybe 13, standing in, it was an old country home, and sometimes some of y'all might remember in the old days and where everybody didn't have a door to the bedroom. Some of them had a curtain hanging over the door, far door. Anybody ever have that? Most of us grew up with that kind of thing. And sitting in the little living room, talking to a couple of the other family members, and I started to leave after I'd shared the gospel, and already standing up, and this little girl steps out from behind the curtain. She'd been standing there the whole time listening. And she said, "Preacher, can I get saved? And I prayed with her. I didn't know she was back there, but she was hearing with eternal ears while somebody else was hearing with physical ears. Somebody else was hearing, waiting to get rid of me. And a little girl there drinking every drop of it in. And to finish that story up, and it breaks my heart to think about it in a way, till yet, I didn't know it. The little girl didn't know it. Mama didn't know it. That little girl had a terminal cancer working in her head right then. And it wasn't but a matter of a few short months she was dead. But she was hearing for life eternal. She was hearing to have her sins forgiven behind the curtain. I can take you, if the house is probably still standing up there, I could take you right to it. I see it in my mind right now. Some hear eternally, some never seem to hear. Just no matter how the word is passed over them. It's an amazing thing. That's what was happening with these Pharisees. He was giving them enough truth to save the whole world. And yet they're going to turn him down. They're going to reject him. They're going to die just like he told them in their sins. In their sins. And so he said, I have many things to say to you, which he'd heard of the Lord in verse 26, the Father. Verse 27, they understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, and this is a big one, folks. This is prophecy as well as history now. It was prophecy when he spoke this. It's history now. Verse 28, then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. Now he says unto them, then said Jesus, when ye shall have lifted me up. Now when did they lift him up? They lifted him up on the cross. They didn't lift him up in honor before he went to the cross, did they? And you know what he says to them here? Once you've lifted me up, he's not just talking about them getting converted. Now, there's no doubt about it. There was more folks saved than we think that encountered Jesus in this physical life. And saw his miracles, saw him feed the thousands. I think a lot of them got saved probably around the cross. It seems like even the Roman centurion might got saved as he cried out that this was the Son of God. A lot of things happen. We sometimes don't really, the Bible could not record all, and the Bible says that. John said all the books of the world wouldn't hold all the things that Jesus did. So more got saved than we think. There was a pretty good crowd on the day of Pentecost, for instance. There was a pretty good crowd. Paul referred to 500 brethren at one time later on when he talked. So there was more people got saved than we think, but then there was a pile of them, of course, that didn't also. So when he's saying that when you lift me up, then you're going to know who I am. Think about it a minute. How would they then know? And they don't know now. Well, several things. The things that happened supernaturally on the cross. The sky turning dark, the noise, the earthquake, all those things, yeah. But one big thing was they put him in the grave, and the grave couldn't hold him. Now you know. Pilate feared that. Pilate, you read the dialogue with Pilate, and I've tried to even look it up on secular places it was recorded. Some of it was recorded in books like the book of Josephus. I've tried to kind of see if the same tone, if the same feeling was recorded in history that's recorded in the Bible about how Pilate felt. You see, he basically crucified Jesus for political reasons. Power, political power. He didn't want to. His wife had already warned him. He'd done it against his better judgment. You know, a lot of folks die lost against their better judgment. Old Pilate did. Oh, yeah. A lot of folks come into church and hear the gospel and hold on to the pew and be glad when they get out and never come again. And their better judgment says you ought to got saved. See, Pilate's better judgment, but he crucified Jesus against his better judgment. And in so doing, history records, and you heard me tell it more than once, that Pilate drove himself nuts. Nuttier. He might have been nuts to start with, but he never got over crucifying the Lord Jesus Christ. Never got over it. He tried to wash the blood off his hands. You remember with the basin of water? That didn't work. There's nothing that'll work that blood off your hands if you've rejected Christ. And it didn't work for Pilate. And the history tells us, secular history, pretty good, and a lot of it is Josephus, very much respected in the big universities of the world. He was an eyewitness in those days. He was alive when Jesus was alive, Josephus was, the Jew. And he even made a statement. He'd not encountered Jesus himself, but knowing the reputation of him, he made a statement in his book, and some of you may have it. It's several volumes, but they'll condense it down into one for you if you want to buy it. But in Josephus's writings, he makes a reference to Jesus, and he says this. There's a man, basically about this time, and he starts to say something about the miracles and what Jesus. But then he made a statement. There was a man about this time, and then in parenthesis, so to speak, he says this. If it be legal or correct to even call him a man. Sounds like Josephus. It was sort of like Pilate. He had a big suspicion. Jesus was not just another man they were crucifying. Not another criminal, but he was what Pilate feared was that he was God, and he was. And of course, that was the whole thing here, the whole debate of who he was. And so the Lord said, if you lift me up, then you're going to know who I am. Well, I'll tell you what, when that tomb was empty, if you think Pilate had some suspicions before, he sure had them now. And the whole crowd, and the Pharisees, and all that crowd. Let me say this, though, hurriedly, and it's true if you figure it out, and it's true in human nature today. Even though after the fact, that don't mean they all became believers. Many did, but many didn't, no matter what. Sort of like the, and this is a quote I read here all last year or two, or whenever I read it, the debate between creation and evolution. There is no debate if you're a believer. Somebody said, I'm a Christian, but I believe in evolution. Well, you might as well be a Christian bartender. You might as well be a bunch of stuff that don't fit. You either believe your God was all-powerful and created you, or you believe you evolved from a monkey. Either way you want to take it. But the difference is it's saying what you believe about God. It's saying what you believe about the opinion of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. What was his opinion? Well, he said, didn't you read from the beginning? Matthew 19, didn't you read from the beginning that he created them male and female? We know he's referring to Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve, right? We understand that. Talking about the creation. And Jesus was saying, you're going to know who I am. And you see that right in the verse, right here in verse 28. Then shall you know that I am he. Now, that was not missed on the Jewish crowd. The I am was not missed. In the Hebrew words and all that, they knew what he was saying. He was saying, I am the I am. I am the great one. I am God. I'm the Lord God Jehovah. I'm God incarnate in the flesh. The world don't miss that part today. They just choose to ignore it. And they're quite willing to make him a good professor in a college or a teacher or a good, even holy man that did some good things, like maybe Gandhi or somebody they admire. No, you got to go further than that. You got to go further to admit who Jesus was. He was God. He was sent by the Father down to do what he did. And if you don't believe that, you're a long way from salvation. I don't care how many churches you join or how many baptisms you go through, you better know who Jesus was, and you better be trusting him not somebody else's talk about him, but something personal and real with you. He said, I am he. And you're going to know it, he said, when you lift me up. And of course, he's talking about, and he said this before. Remember, he said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And you know, as he has been lifted up, the whole world can't get over that. All the art, all the literature, all the paintings on the walls everywhere, the big cathedrals, all the knowledge, the world can't get over Jesus Christ. I heard a political Jew, politician, lost, but probably a good man. He made the statement, we don't want another little Jesus story. I got news for him. It was not a little story. It has influenced the whole world from corner to corner, and you can't get over it. It's not something you can ignore. Pilate couldn't ignore it. Nobody else can ignore it. Everybody has to answer about Jesus. And that's what he's saying here as he continues to dialogue with them, moving on down just a little bit. And he that sent me is with me. Well, that was obvious to him, you'd think. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please me. Now, I wish all of us in here could make that last statement, for I do always those things which that please him. No, I can't say that. You can't say that. But Jesus can say that. He can accurately, truthfully say, I do always those things that please him. Ever since I've been saved, I've tried, but I have to admit, I sure have come short of it lots of times. And the Lord had to speak in my heart deep and say, that did not please me. And that's the only way, by the way, you'll ever correct anything. You won't never use that eraser on the pencil until you admit you've made a mistake that needs erasing. Amen? And so it is when it comes to the Lord. To be honest about it, I need a big eraser. I have a big eraser. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses from all sin. Amen? Truth is here, the dialogue going back and forth, it has not changed. It's the same old talk, same old criticism, same old traps that they set for Jesus. They set for God's people today, and they set for the truth today. And all of it's still going on. And then it says, though, in verse 30, and I'll end with it, verse 30, as he spake these words, many believed on him. Now, hear me, soul winner, hear me, Christian. We ought to keep witnessing for this last verse's sake here. Many. All of them didn't believe. Many did. It's that many that we send the missionary to reach. It's that many we put a bus ride out here for. It's that minute, that little group there, many, that we send the kids to the mission field for. And many did get saved. Not all of them. Don't ever get the attitude, if I can't win everybody in the world, I won't win any. Then you won't win any. But if you will try for all, you'll get some. And that's important. All right, my time's up. Brother Smith will give us another summertime report here. Oh, wow. 672 this morning.